خلقه وبدا خلق الانسان من طين واصلي واسلم على المبعوث رحمه العالمين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الا وان كل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. Amma ba'd, fa Ramadan is only a few weeks ago. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yubalighana Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the life and the strength to fast in this Ramadan and to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So a lot of people are excited because this is a special time. You get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your sins are forgiven, you are raised in rank, and so on and so forth. But some people, in the few weeks before Ramadan, they are nervous and they have issues for a totally different reason. And a lot of people, they have what I like to call the PRTS. This is what they call it scientifically. So PRTS stands for pre-Ramadan talaq syndrome. Because some people think that it is haram to give talaq in the month of Ramadan, so what they do, they want to get this done with before, over with, before the month of Ramadan. It's a misconception that some people have. So what they do, the few weeks before the month of Ramadan, people go nuts. I want to finish this before Ramadan. You know, so they bug me and they bug other imams. So, mashallah, the phone calls, non-stop every day, emails, Facebook, WhatsApp. So, to the point, I'm afraid when I go home, if I open the fridge, someone is going to pop out, talaq. So, I'm going nuts at this time of the year. So, as I said, people do it because they think it is haram to give talaq in the month of Ramadan. And, of course, we know that shaitan will be on vacation in Ramadan. Shaitan is chained. Shaitan عاوز يقفل المحضر قبل رمضان. So shaitan wants to close the case, the file, just before Ramadan. So shaitan will relax in the month of Ramadan. So this is why people are going nuts. So today, because there are so many misconceptions about talaq, so I decided to dedicate the 20 minutes of the life of this khutbah to give you the basics of this concept in Islam, because there are so many misconceptions. So the title of the khutbah, Talaq Made Easy. Not that I'm asking you to go and make talaq, but just to share the basics with you, inshallah ta'ala. So we need to understand that marriage is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it, mithaqan ghaliza. It's a tremendous commitment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a family to be together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want people to go through talaq. It is painful. The family will collapse and the kids will be the victim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep the family together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you want the marriage to succeed, there has to be mawadda and rahmah in the relationship. There has to be love, respect, mercy, compassion, hikmah, wisdom, and sabr. This is what it takes to be successful in the marriage. And I tell people over and over again, if you want the marriage to succeed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to have mawadda and rahmah. And this basically means for the husband to treat his wife the same way he likes his own daughter and his own sister to be treated by her husband, with respect and dignity. And I tell the wife, treat your husband the same way you like your own son or your own brother to be treated by his wife, with respect and dignity. So these are the requirements. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it difficult for talaq to happen because, you know, the kids and the family and this tremendous commitment, right? So for example, they have this saying, أَبْغَضُ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ. So the most disliked thing which is halal to Allah is talaq. And most of the scholars say this is not hadith, it's a statement from one of the ulama or one of the sahaba, but the meaning is acceptable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want talaq to happen. And this is why in Sharia we have different challenges, when we have different requirements for talaq to happen. Yeah, I say, for example, if someone gives his wife talaq 3 times in one setting, the chosen opinion in Sharia is, one count of talaq happens. Because there is a hadith, someone came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, Ishhad, bear witness that I divorced my wife 3 times. And the Prophet ﷺ was not happy, and he said, if you want to divorce your wife, give her talaq according to sunnah. One count, you don't have to do 3, just one. One is enough. And if someone يعني, gives his wife talaq, in Sharia, it is not over with. There is iddah, 3 months, there are different conditions, but 3 months, let's say. If you get back to each other during the 3 months, alhamdulillah. But if the iddah expires and they didn't get back to each other, and they wanted to get back after iddah, this is Bainuna Sura, they get back to each other, she can marry anyone, including her ex, with a new mah and a new aqd, because they call it Bainuna Sura. And if they marry again with a new mahr and aqd, if the same thing happens, they have the iddah, if it expires, they marry again, they have a third chance. If this happens, there's no coming back, she needs to marry someone else, Bainuna Kubra, she needs to marry someone else before she marries him again, with a new mahr and a new aqd. At-talaq maratan in Surah Baqarah. So this is one of the rulings in this case. Some people, I've seen some people, they don't talk to each other like husband and wife for 2 or 3 years. She lives with his mom, with her mom, he lives with his mom, and they think this is talaq, and now they think about marrying someone else. And I tell them that the first marriage is not over yet, because talaq has to be done in a certain way. You have to say the word. But if you just say, well, I don't want to live with you, and they go and they live in different places, this is not talaq. It's called separation, but not talaq. And of course, if someone gives his wife talaq during the monthly cycle, the chosen opinion, Jumhur al-Ulama, it doesn't count. And I'll tell you why in a minute. We know that, like, typically, a sister, for example, if she has her monthly cycle, and let's say the monthly cycle is over on the first of the month, she has this period of purity for 21, 25 days, more or less, before the next one. So if someone has a relationship with his wife during this 21, 25 days, then he gives her talaq before the next period, it doesn't count. This is like, they call it talaq al-bid'i, and it doesn't count, according to the majority of the scholars. لأنه, the Prophet ﷺ says, يعني من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. If someone does something that is not according to the sunnah, then it is invalid. So say for example, if someone says like, why 3 rak'ah for Maghrib? I want to do more. I'm going to pray 4 rak'ah for Maghrib or 5. His salah is not accepted. It has to be done according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So as I said, yes, I know there is difference of opinion, but the chosen opinion is that in the case of the monthly cycle, the divorce happens, or after childbirth, during the bleeding, or within this period of 21, 25 days, more or less, the period of purity, if divorce happens, it doesn't take effect. It is invalid. Why? Because we understand for someone to make a decision, the person has to be physically, emotionally, psychologically stable. But during this time, typically, the wife is not emotionally stable. And sometimes the husband would lose interest in his wife. Or after they have the relationship, the intimate relationship, if he gives her talaq, he fulfilled his desire, so khalas, he lost interest. So in this case, the chosen opinion is that talaq doesn't happen. And subhanAllah, like, we have kids, you take them to the store, if they go to Toys R Us or whatever, and they see a toy, let's say for example Barbie or something else, and they're going nuts, they want the toy, they fall on the floor, they're crying, they're making the scene, they make you feel like you're kidnapping them, and they make you feel like they're the most miserable kid if you don't buy them the toy, and you are the worst dad if you don't buy it to them. And if you buy it to them, they will be dancing in the street. So eventually, you will just buy it for them. And mashallah, you feel like all the problems are solved, no problem, they will be happy. 3 days later, they break the neck of Barbie, and they break the leg, and they throw everything in the garbage. Because they lost interest. Human beings are like this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to make a decision when you lost desire or lost interest. You have to be mentally, physically, psychologically stable to make this tremendous decision. Talaq is not easy. Then we have the issue of talaq al-mashroot. A lot of people are confused. Talaq al-mashroot, or if someone says to his wife, you go to Niagara Falls, or you go to Buffalo, I'll give you talaq. So basically the ulama make the distinction between two things. If you said, I'll give you talaq if you go, if your niyyah was a threat, you're just threatening, in this case it is kafaratul yamin, it is not talaq. So if you said, if you go there, I'll give you talaq, she went, darabit bikalamik arda al-hayt, and she went, in this case, yameen, kafarat yameen, because your niyyah was not talaq. And again, there's difference of opinion, but I'm giving you the chosen one. And in this case, because she broke your oath, you will feed 10 poor people, or if you can't, you just fast the 3 days. If your niyyah was talaq, then this is one count of talaq. It is very simple, very basic. The other example is talaq al-ghadban. If someone is very angry, and they give talaq to their wife, so again, in extreme anger, the Prophet ﷺ says, لا طلاق في إغلاق. If someone is very mad, and they give their wife talaq in this case, then the talaq doesn't count, but talaq al-Ighlaq is basically extreme anger. Because typically, anyone who gives talaq to their wife, they are mad, they are sad, they are not happy. But it has to be extreme anger. Like, your head is about to explode, steam is coming out of your ears, you don't know what you are saying, you are going crazy. You know, you don't know what you are saying. This is talaq al-Ighlaq, and it doesn't count in this case. But just basic anger, you know, if someone gives his wife talaq when he's a little bit angry, khalas, it is talaq. But we are talking about extreme anger. So we ask the husband, how angry were you? He would say, well, I was extremely angry, I was about to kill someone or jump out of the window. Or I was a little bit irritated and I gave her talaq. Little irritation, talaq counts. Extreme anger, then in this case, the talaq doesn't count. So these are some of the basic rulings of talaq. So now, a couple of other things, inshallah. Let's say, for example, the wife doesn't live with the husband and she filed for divorce, right? Islamically in Sharia and legally, I cannot, as an imam, I cannot force someone to stay with another person against their will. I don't have the authority. Like if the wife files for divorce and the husband comes to me, I don't approve of this marriage, I have no say, I have no authority as an imam. If they took it to the judge, to the court, I have no say as an imam. Because this is not a Muslim country and the judge is the highest authority. If the husband issues talaq, as an imam, I have to talk to the husband to confirm the judge's decision. I talk to the husband, I say, your wife doesn't want to live with you. I cannot force you. The judge cannot force you to live with her. And the same thing, like one time, a sister like came, her husband was giving her talaq, and the sister said, I don't want talaq, I want to stay with him. And I said, I don't have the authority to force your husband to stay with you. I don't have the authority. It has to be done consensually between both of them, right? So now, if the sister files for divorce, talaq, and she took him to the court, and the judge says, you know, the husband has to give her 50% of everything. 50% of the house, 50% of the car, 50% of his Facebook account, 50% of your kidney, and so on and so forth. Like there was this video a couple of years ago, this guy in the US, he took the law very literally. He gave his wife basically 50% of everything, so he cut everything in half, the car in half, with a saw, the bed, the couch, everything, wallah, he cut everything in half. And the money, he would cut it in half. No, this is your 50%, this is my 50%, right? So now Islamically, you know what your rights are in Islam, the mahr and the nafaqa and so on and so forth. And this is your haqq. And the Prophet ﷺ says, if a judge gives you more than your right, you are eating fire in your belly. You shouldn't take what is more than your haqq, right? However, there are exceptions. Yani say for example, a brother and a sister, they got married 35, 40 years ago. There are cases. Her mahr was like $50, $70. 35 years ago, 40 years ago, $50, $100 was something. But now after 40 years, the $100 you can barely feed two people biryani with $50, $70, right? So the money lost its value. And in this case, we talked to the husband, you have to pay a little bit more because the $50, $70 is nothing, man. So you have to compensate your wife, give her a little bit more. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. You have to honor your wife and your relationship with her. Another example, for the 50-50%, this is actually a ruling in Sharia that the wife will get 50% in one case. If she started a business with her husband and she was not getting paid for all her work for 15, 20, 30 years, and he didn't give her any money, and in this case, she will deserve something from the money. It could be up to 50%, because now she is treated as a partner with her husband in the business. Unless she was getting, for example, a salary or some payment monthly or something, then this is a totally different case. To make it easy for everyone, and in order to settle any conflict between court of law and Sharia and so on and so forth, regarding the 50% of everything, a lot of celebrities and famous people and politicians and so on and so forth, when they get married, what they do what they call legally as a prenuptial agreement. So this basically means you'll go to the lawyer with your wife before the marriage and you'll make an agreement that in case of talaq, your wife is only entitled to mahr. And you will sign the agreement. And this agreement is binding in the US and Canada. If you have this agreement, and again, a lot of millionaires and billionaires, when they get married, they sign this agreement. Like, this is my money, why would I pay 50%? So a lot of people have this mentality. You know, people like Donald Trump and Tom Cruise and all these people, when they get married, they sign a prenuptial agreement. In case of talaq, you will get the mahr and that's it, not the 50%. So this is something to consider, and in this agreement, the husband and the wife, they can put all the conditions they want. Not only the husband, the wife can also have conditions that are acceptable Islamically, and in this case, it is binding, and this will put everyone's heart at ease. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله ربه رحمة العالمين. So inshallah, in the last couple of minutes of the life of this khutbah, we'll talk a little bit about Isra and Mi'raj. So basically, we're not for sure when it happened in Rajab or somewhere else, but the point was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lost his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, he lost his uncle Abu Talib and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he took him for this journey. So I'll share one hadith regarding Al-Isra wa Al-Mi'raj. In Sahih Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this journey, this memorable journey, he gave him three gifts. Because when you receive an honorable guest in your house, you give them something. Like, you give them something sweet, you give them something precious, you give them a gift. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did في رحلة المعراج. فَأُعْطِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثًا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received three gifts in that night. So the first gift, the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم received them directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without Jibreel عليه السلام in the middle. أَمَنَ الرَّسُولُ. And the next ayah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, they say in this hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ received it directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through Jibreel alayhi salam. And number two, namaz, the gift of salah. So typically in zakah, hajj, and fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send Jibreel alayhi salam with the order to pray, give zakah and to fast and so on and so forth. But namaz, salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the order to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And he offered him a gift. If someone does something good, they will get 10 rewards. If they do something bad, one sin only. This is part of the gift, the package. If you pray 5 namaz, you'll get the reward of 50, because we know initially it was 50, so he gave the reward of 50. And finally, the last gift that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that night, al-maghfirah li ahli dhunub. If someone does something wrong, committed a sin, so the gate of mercy is not closed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if someone does something wrong, no matter how big their sin is, and they make their tawbah, and they give the rights back to its rightful owners, and in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be willing to forgive them. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yubalighana Ramadan and help us to fast and do qiyam and salah properly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins, accept our good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Syria في العراق وفي فلسطين وفي اليمن وفي ليبيا في إنديا وباكستان وفي أفغانستان وفي الصومال وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاك الله خيرا. وأقم الصلاة.